Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. We are very pleased to be joined right now by Governor Brian Kemp of the great state of Georgia. Governor, thanks for making some time for us today.
Good afternoon, guys.
So, sir, first off, I just want to know, there are a lot of people, when they think about Georgia these days, it was right at the center of a lot of, election questions and people calling for recounts and the Senate races, the presidential race. For anybody who has concerns about election integrity right now in the state of Georgia, especially as we're going into this midterm election year soon, what should they know? What can you tell them that'll make them confident, or are you confident? Maybe a better way to ask the question, that elections in the state of Georgia are secure.
Well, I believe it's easy to vote and hard to cheat here in the state of Georgia. That's always what I've worked toward is 9 years as Secretary of State and certainly as governor. I think our Elections Integrity Act last year, addressing a lot of the mechanical issues that we saw in the 2020 election, working with county elections officials and a lot of other people to implement that policy or that new law, has really helped the confidence. We want all voters, doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on, to have confidence in the elections. And we have elections going on right now. Nobody's complaining about anybody being disenfranchised or suppressed or anything else, which we knew they would not be. But I do think people have much more confidence now because of doing very, you know, common sense things like tying the voter ID requirement to absentee ballots by mail, securing drop boxes and other things. But we've also given the ability for people to vote further on the weekends here in Georgia, even on Sunday.
And so for anybody who is hearing the Democrat lines on this, I mean, Joe Biden, the sitting president, governor, has gone so far as to refer to some of these election integrity measures. And as you said, even in some cases, Georgia has expanded voting, made it easier to vote, put in place provisions so that there's greater convenience. What's your response to President Biden saying it's Jim Crow 2.0?
Well, he's lying to people. I mean, he obviously didn't know what was in the bill when whoever it was got him to come out and say that. And it's almost like they used him as a, you know, political pawn. He's using his own Justice Department by suing us over the Elections Integrity Act right now as a political tool when his own state of Delaware is much more restrictive than we are here in the state of Georgia. I mean, it's really the height of hypocrisy. It's the height of federal overreach. And quite honestly, guys, the Democrats have overplayed their hand on this, just like Major League Baseball did. They made a political decision to move the All-Star game because they were getting pressured. They folded to that pressure. And unlike myself, I have not folded to the pressure from them or anyone else. In fact, we have fought back even harder to make sure that people know what the truth is in Georgia. And that is that, you know, we want to have secure elections, but we also want them to be accessible too. But you have to understand there's a lot of people that are lining their pockets by, you know, continuing to spread this falsehood that's out there.
Governor, I'm down right now in Houston, and I watched the Braves win last night to take a 1-0 World Series lead. I'm sure you were watching that as well. How excited are you for the Braves to be back in Atlanta on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, as you just mentioned, in the same year that Rob Manfred said you can't host the All-Star game and yanked it to put it to Colorado? What's the vibe and the excitement level going to be in Truist Park on Friday, Saturday, Sunday? And how much of karmic justice is the Braves making the World Series and being able to host games there?
Well, it's poetic justice for sure. And I think, you know, looking back to the All-Star game decision and moving it to Colorado, they too in many ways are more restrictive than Georgia is when it comes to access to citizens having the opportunity to go vote. And that's a whole nother story. But look, this was a great National League Championship Series win by the Braves. It's a great win for the players, the organization, certainly the fans. But it is also a great win for small business owners, many who are minority-based in the city of Atlanta and in up and around Truist Park. It's going to be a great economic boom for us. And I think people – it's gratifying because those people are deserving. They got screwed with the All-Star game. getting moved. People are still furious about that. But I think the focus is on rallying around the team and winning a world championship. I mean, it's going to be an awesome environment. It has been all year at the stadium. We've been open, 100% capacity, fans in the battery during the game, you know, watching it on TV when they couldn't get in the stadium. It's just going to be an electric atmosphere here. And I keep telling people we need to close out the year with the Braves World Championship and then open the year with the Bulldogs National Championship.
That would certainly be wildly popular. We're talking to Governor Brian Kemp from Georgia. Governor, when you hear, I want to circle back around on this question surrounding election integrity. The Democrats have been pounding the idea of election integrity, but their patron saint right now is Stacey Abrams, who you beat by 50,000 votes, if I'm not mistaken, in 2018. She has never conceded to you. We've got a hot election right now going on in Virginia. And Terry McAuliffe came out again and said, basically, you didn't win your election. How is it that Democrats can say Republicans don't honor elections, but they continue to spread the fiction, the lie, that you didn't win in 2018? And am I correct that Stacey Abrams has never conceded, yet she's become a hero of the left?
Yeah, well, that's what they do. I mean, look, this is that, you know, again, the state of hypocrisy that they're living in. And they don't care about the truth. They just care about the message that's out there. That's what you're seeing in Virginia right now. They're trying to rally the base because they have a candidate in Terry McAuliffe that goes out there and says, you know, parents shouldn't be making decisions on behalf of their children that are in school, which is just ludicrous. So they're pulling out every stop in the book with Obama, Stacey Abrams. Even President Biden was up there the other day. But that's what they do. And look, Stacey Abrams is lining her pockets through this narrative that's out there all over the country. And it should, you know, it shouldn't just concern us here in Georgia. It should concern people all over the country, because she's going to be doing these same type things in your state. And they're going to be using these same tactics to use the Justice Department to sue other states and to come after us, because we simply want to have secure elections. And the whole idea that they're not, you know, accessible is absolutely ridiculous. And you just look back to the 2018 governor's race. We had the largest African-American turnout in that cycle in the state of Georgia. And you never hear them talking about that. I mean, I was the Secretary of State that helped create online voter registration, where people can register to vote 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and many other things, to my point of making it easy to vote but hard to cheat. And you had Georgia-based companies that came out with statements after we passed our bill saying, look, we support secure, accessible elections, and they were getting boycotted because that didn't go far enough for the left. That's the crazy world that we're living in now. And, you know, in the past, a lot of Republicans have relented and folded up and, you know, given some sort of, cut some sort of deal to try to end the controversy. And I've been dealing with this crowd and fighting these lawsuits from Stacey Abrams and her folks since 2013, 2014. So I know how they do. They're going to continue this. You got to fight them every step of the way. And that's what we're doing. And we're going to win in court. I'm convinced of that. Our bill's a good bill. It's constitutional. And, we're having elections right now in Georgia, and nobody's howling about suppression.
Governor Brian Kemp of Georgia. Governor, really appreciate your time today, sir. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, thanks. Go Braves. Go Dawgs.
If you had to choose between two of the exact same services, one costing you a premium because it was better known, while the other was a newer brand and cost you a lot less, which one would you choose? You choose a lower cost one, right? Because you want to save money without having to sacrifice any quality. That's why you should switch to Pure Talk Cellular. Pure Talk is on the exact same 5G network using the exact same towers. It's one of the really big carriers you already know out there, but for far less money every month. Here's a picture of the savings. You alone can save $50 or more per month. An average size family on a family plan from Pure Talk saves $800 a year in total on average. Okay, that's what we're talking about here. Switching is so easy. You can keep your number and your phone, and Pure Talk sends you a new SIM card to install in your existing phone. You swap that one out, you are good to go. Listen to this offer from Pure Talk. unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data on Pure Talk's 5G network, just $30 a month. And unlimited data plans are not much more, still saving you a small fortune. Clay, how do folks get signed up?
Look, my son has got it. We've got it ourselves. We've had them in our house. You can get hooked up right now. Pure Talk has a 30-day risk-free guarantee, so you literally have nothing to lose. From your cell phone right now, dial #250 and say Pure Talk, and you'll save 50% off your first month. That's #250. Say Pure Talk.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Remember to go to clayandbuck.com for news stories we talk about here if you want to read about them a little bit. Plus, you can become an EIB subscriber. We put special videos up, photos, cool things like that up. Clayandbuck.com is the site. Please follow me on Instagram if you want to see Buck going after it in the range, lighting it up. Then I'm telling you, we got a slow-mo video of the Barrett 50 cal. Follow me on Instagram at Buck Sexton. Follow Clay on Twitter at Clay Travis. We're both on both those platforms, but there you go. And we've been telling you all along, because I know, look, this is the thing. We got to talk at the national level, but we focus in on the local where we can, where it's of national concern, right? Where it's a story that everybody should know about, everybody should hear about. Loudoun County, the governor's race there. You know, Virginia's getting a lot of attention. I know we talked about Florida. We just had our friend Michael Berry in Houston with us. We may have another friend who's Houston-based joining us later on the show, too, another favorite radio host of ours. But, we're talking to you all across the country. Obviously, we got people in California, in Illinois, in Montana, in Kansas, in Nebraska, the Carolinas, the South, you name it, right? And one thing we've been saying is all across the country, these fights over school boards, particularly in states that are either blue or, you know, half, right, purple, a half blue, there are these situations now where parents realize, hold on, I'm empowered. I can have more of a say in my kids' education. There's a reason we have these school board elections. There's a reason we have these meetings where parents get to have their voices heard. And what you're seeing is that the education establishment, such as it is, which is a dominated by the left province, the education establishment does not like it. And up in Minnesota, we got a lot of great listeners in Minnesota, too, of course. Up in Minnesota, there was a school board that did not allow folks who showed up, a parent to show up, to speak without essentially self-doxing, putting out one's personal information in a way that seemed creepy and weird. Here, Clay, let's let everyone hear this. And you could tell, you know, would you have felt comfortable with this when you went? Play it.
Open forum participants are prohibited from calling out or addressing any individual school board or school district staff member. If this occurs, open forum will be closed and the individual will not be allowed to participate in future open forums. Can you give us your name and address, please?
My name is John. I live in Mankato.
Could I get your address, please, John?
I'd rather not, since you guys
don't
have
give
it
your
already.
Address, you can't speak.
And I get so much property damage and eggs and everything else from fun people and their friends.
John, you need to give your address.
All right, I live on Fifth Street.
Excuse me?
I live on Fifth Street.
House number? Thank you.
All right. So are our kids safe?
This is madness. Buck, this is a clear attempt to intimidate parents to... Look, I understand. If you want to require property owners in a district to verify that they are in that district, that they are property taxpayers, things like that. But the idea that before you give your opinion, you would have to give your actual physical address for everyone present at that forum to be able to hear is directly intended to intimidate parents from being able to speak out. And that rule itself saying, hey, you can't criticize a school board member by name. You can't criticize a school. Look, this is why parents, I believe rightly, believe that they are intentionally being attacked by their own school board that they fund with their taxpayer dollars. This is an outrageous attempt to curtail everyone's ability to speak out against the ridiculousness going on.
I mean, Clay, you went to a school board meeting. We just talked about this. Can you imagine if they said, excuse me, Mr. Travis, we want actual physical address down to the street and building number. maybe also your personal phone number, maybe your social security number, then you can voice your opinion. I think people would think that was weird.
No doubt. And again, the idea that you would be expected to do that. I mean, they want everybody to hear that and be so intimidated that they are afraid to speak out. And this is part of the flagrant attempt to keep parents from being able to speak out. And this goes directly to what Glenn Youngkin was arguing when Terry McAuliffe said parents shouldn't be involved in what their kids are being taught in school. This is why Glenn Youngkin needs to win, to fight back against issues like this taking place all over the country. What you got for us, Buck?
If your cell phone service is with Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile, I can tell you without even looking at your cell phone bill, you're paying too much. Compare your monthly cell phone bill to the cost and service that comes from Pure Talk. This is a company, Pure Talk, that has the exact same 5G network using the exact same towers as one of those big carriers, but for a heck of a lot less. You could be saving as much as $70 a month on a family plan or $50 a month for an individual plan. Either way, that's a huge annual savings that really matters. Talking about paying down credit card bills, other bills you got. Switching is so easy. You can keep your number, the number you have right now, and the phone you have right now. You're just switching the service. Pure Talk makes it all possible in about 10 minutes or so of time. Listen to their offer. Unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data on Pure Talk's 5G network is just $30 a month. And look, it's so easy to do. Pure Talk has a 30-day risk-free guarantee. You literally have nothing to lose. From your cell phone, dial #250 and say Pure Talk. That's right. From your phone right now, dial #250, say Pure Talk. You'll save 50% off your first month. That's #250, say Pure Talk.
Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Hope all of you are having a fantastic Wednesday, wherever you may be across this great country or this great land. Come the holidays, Buck, we are going to be out for some time. We really haven't missed hardly any shows, I don't think, since we started on June 21st, and we're having an incredible time. But we obviously want to spend some time with our families around the holidays. I'm down in Houston today. And we are obviously experiencing the World Series. We've got a big Houston Astro fan on the line right now. That is Michael Berry, and he is going to be one of our guest hosts going forward, certainly during the holidays. Michael, we're excited to have you as a part of the family. Thank you for having me on your show earlier today down in Houston. We can't wait to share the golden microphone with you.
You're very kind to say that, Clay, and hello, Buck. But your listeners do need to know that you are in Houston, Texas, your host city, and you wore a Dale Murphy shirt into my studio, but you carried it off.
That happened.
Because you quoted Davy Crockett seamlessly, effortlessly. It was perfect. So you restored yourself.
No, it's outstanding. We're looking forward to having you sitting in with us. I know you do a great show down in Houston. For your perspective, has the Biden administration been far worse than even you could have contemplated it being?
It has. I thought it would be Obama 2.0, but things were not this bad under Obama. You know, being in Texas, obviously you're in Houston now, the border crisis hits us harder than any other state, even more so than California. We're seeing it in our crime. You know, Arizona and California are seeing it, but we're seeing it in our crime rates. We're seeing it everywhere. And that is worse than I think it's ever been. And we have some CBP directors who are saying the same thing. The supply chain disruption and the portion of blame that he deserves for that, absolutely. But, you know, this sort of now we're making gender equality into the biggest issue when that's the least important thing to anybody in the country. Yeah, it's absolutely worse. And I think the country is demoralized. I mean, he's a mush brain. He's demented. And we all know it. That's not an insult. It's a fact. And so I think it's leaving a lot of people feeling like this sort of morass. It's the malaise of Jimmy Carter all over again, but worse.
Michael, it's Buck, man. Been a fan for a long time. Thanks so much
for hanging out
with us here. We know this audience is going to love to get a chance to hang with you a whole lot more when you're stepping up to the EIB. Mike, you know, I've never been to Houston, by the way. And now I realize I got you and I got my buddy Jesse Kelly down there. So I'm going to have to come to one of your sporting events or something, Clay Travis style. I'm going to come down there and watch some of the professional athletes do their things. And really, I just want an excuse to eat Houston barbecue. So I'm just going to say that because this is really...
Well, it is. It is the best barbecue, and I'm also a big fan of yours, and Jesse Kelly is one of my best friends in the whole wide world, I got to tell you, he and I have been bouncing back and forth with this idea of hosting a Houston event for media personalities that we really like, you know, the cool kids. And then the whole point of this is to exclude the people that wish they were invited and weren't. But if you would come down and keynote that, that'd be fun.
Oh, man, we would love to do that. I mean, look, KTRH Houston, which we know is your home station, and it's what we're talking to you on now. For a lot of folks, for a lot of folks listening, is just a fantastic heritage radio station, and we love that Houston audience. So Clay, I think we got a plan that's unfolding here in real time. We got maybe the Mar-a-Lago show with Trump. We got the Houston show with Jesse and Mr. Michael Berry. But I do promise every day, Michael, that we make sure that we bring everybody up to speed on all the latest news. I'm just wondering. I mean, as you see, Attorney General Garland right now testifying on Capitol Hill and getting some heat from some Republicans, particularly about the memo that went out to the parents. We'll be talking later on the show about a Minneapolis school board meeting, I think it was. It was up in Minnesota for sure, where they're obviously trying to intimidate parents against speaking out. Do you see any of that stuff in Texas? I mean, does that stuff fly in Houston?
You certainly do. We have school board elections going on right now, and that was a big subject this morning. I got to tell you, school board elections were not a very glamorous thing in the past, but, you know, Buck, you've been at this a long time. You've been talking to these listeners for a long time, and you know as well as I do, as I often say, the two things that you can't mess with are you will get the independent, especially the independent southern voter, the suburban mommy, out to vote against you, is you mess with their guns, and most importantly, you mess with their kids. You can raise taxes, you can invade foreign countries, you can do all sorts of other things, but when you mess with their kids, and I got to tell you, that has people energized. You're seeing people showing up at school board meetings, and they're hopping mad. And guess what? It's not just older white folks anymore. You're seeing young blacks. You're seeing young Hispanics. You're seeing young Asians. You're seeing people with thick accents that have never been to these types of events before, and they are hopping mad because that they are mama bear and papa bear, and it's a beautiful thing. This level of increased engagement and activism, it's really exciting to see, I think. I think it's a great time in that sense.
Michael, how important has Greg Abbott's executive order about vaccine mandates been in the state of Texas, and how are people responding to it in your experience?
Well, the state of Texas is quite unlike most of the union, but probably Tennessee and state of Texas share more than any other two states, even probably more so than Florida. I mean, Davy Crockett was from Tennessee, as was Sam Houston. But it's made a big difference. But Greg Abbott didn't lead on that. Greg Abbott follows.
Yes.
He's not Ron DeSantis. He's not Donald Trump. He's a follower. And when he saw how popular DeSantis was, I mean, he has designs on the White House. When he saw how popular DeSantis was for doing that, he followed a month or so later because he had to. The business community here dragged him kicking and screaming. This is a business first state. This is why people are relocating here and to Tennessee to build their businesses, to find jobs, to find work, more so than anything else. It's economically conservatively driven, and we wanted our businesses back open. We don't believe in mandate. This is a state of independence, right? We were our own nation. This is why folks like Davy Crockett came here. This is why we fought the Alamo. We are an independent frontier spirit. Don't mandate anything.
Michael Berry, everybody, you're going to be hearing more from him on the EIB in the future. He's going to be one of our guest hosts coming up this holiday season. And obviously the folks in the Houston area know and very much enjoy his daily show. Michael, thanks so much for being with us, man. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again. I love that event idea, by the way. Clay and I are coming down. We're going to do it.
You're in. You're
100%.
In. Thank you.
Thanks so much. All right, coming up, Clay, I think you got to set the record straight here for what we're seeing on the school board fights and whatever else is top of mind for you. Plus, you were at a fun baseball game last night.
Yeah, it didn't stink. And also, there's some chaos still in this reconciliation bill with the Democrats. We need to give you the latest on that. That's next. Appreciate all of you hanging with us here as we roll through Wednesday.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.
Turns out when the Democrat Party undermines police and embraces a narrative of defunding cops across the country, bad things happen. We've established that. We've seen the numbers. We know the data. Biggest increase in homicides, really, since they've tracked homicides at a national level in this country in the last 18 months. It has been a disaster for dozens of cities across the country. And it was all entirely predictable. Welcome back to Clay and Buck Show, by the way. But this was all entirely predictable. In fact, we predicted it here. We talked about it as it was happening and continues to occur. And now some Democrats have realized, we got a real problem because there are elections that are becoming that are going to be coming up here. We've seen what exactly did the rise of the BLM movement accomplish? What did all those protests and, yes, the many, many riots that rocked the country in an election year leading up to the preparation for mass riots if Joe Biden did not win? Remember that? Remember the storefronts that were all battened down and ready for what looked like a hurricane, but it was just going to be upset Democrats in case Joe Biden lost? Turns out, well, that didn't end up happening. We all know that. Why? But Ilhan Omar's up in Minneapolis, you know, member of the squad, and she was very vocal in defund police. When we play those defund the police montages of Democrats, you'll often hear Ilhan Omar's voice. You'll hear Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. You hear a number of left-wing Democrats and other Democrats that pretend to be more centrist, but they pander and they run scared from the first moment of any push from the left. And Minneapolis is having a record-breaking year for crime. Had its, I believe, worst year ever for homicides last year, and is on track to have another terrible one this year. And Ilhan Omar wants you to know the problem is the police force.
The police have chosen to not fulfill their oath of office and to provide the public safety they are owed to the citizens they serve. The Minneapolis Police Department is the most dysfunctional police department in our state and probably in the country.
Clay, Ilhan Omar was in support, vocally in support of a measure to replace the entire Minneapolis Police Department. And now she's complaining that they're not doing, you know, the best jobs they've ever done. They're not able to do the jobs they're supposed to do without the backing of political leadership.
If the media did its job, Buck, this would be one of the top stories in the country. Because defund the police, as we told you it would be, is the dumbest single political idea of the 21st century. And one of the dumbest political ideas of most of our lives. We knew exactly what was going to happen, Buck. A while back, I'd encourage people to go track it down and listen to it on the podcast. We had Heather McDonald on sharing all the data about policing all over this country. And for an elected official like Ilhan Omar, who advocated for police to basically be stripped of all of their powers and all of their responsibilities, to then, in less than a year, come back and argue police aren't doing their job and blame them for the overall increase of crime is a level of hypocritical lying duplicity that is even off the charts for politicians whose lying and prevarication is a regular staple of their jobs. Even among lying politicians, they look at Ilhan Omar and they say to themselves, my goodness, she is one of the elite liars in all of American political history. And for her to even have the gumption to make this argument is a testament to how little she is afraid of anyone in the media actually holding her accountable, right? I mean, this should be, if we had a fair and impartial media, this is a layup. You talked about Garland getting dunked on by Tom Cotton. This is a violent, greatest dunk in the history of the game opportunity to erase someone in the political sphere over their stupidity and their duplicity and over their behavior that has directly led, unfortunately, to thousands of people being dead because of violent crime that would have otherwise been alive if politicians had not gotten involved in the defund the police movement. She led this, and now she's blaming police for the procedures and protocols she put in place that led directly to this outcome. It's shameful.
If we had an honest media, they would ask, they would find every person. If accountability and if holding the mirror up to those in positions of authority, if speaking truth to power was really what the national political media or just the national news media in general was focused on and took as their real mission. They would find every Democrat, because it was there was not a single Republican. Isn't this amazing? This is endemic within the Democrat Party. This does not exist within the Republican Party. Not a single Republican saying defund the police. Some were saying police reform, and I, back in June of 2020, was saying, don't start playing that game. Then they're going to start pulling down the statues and telling you got to beg forgiveness for this and that and the other thing. Don't start doing it. But, Clay, this is a Democrat issue. And so if we had an honest media, they would track down every single, and when I say track down, go up to them during one of the daily interactions that they have on Capitol Hill or in other places where the press corps is covering a particular politician across the country in a, you know, the governor's mansion, the state house. Anybody who was saying defund the police, they should be approached by a journalist who's honest, and that doesn't really exist very much. There are a few. And they would say the following. Have you changed your mind on this? Was this a reckless idea to push? Is defunding responsible, at least in part, for not just a rise in crime as a general issue, but a rise in murders and homicides in major cities, in particular across the country? Watch them squirm if they are ever asked those questions, or just divert, or talk about, you know, oh, but systemic racism, or oh, but, you know, whatever, Trump, January 6th, the insurrection, Dick Cheney, Halliburton. They'll just say something to get away from what should be massive accountability here and the loss of power that comes from the people rising up and saying what was done here was disgraceful. People that were saying defund the police, it goes beyond I disagree with them. It was shameful for politicians to say this, and it was shameful for news outlets to amplify it uncritically, all because orange man bad, you have to be Trump. Of course, we know that too.
Yes, and we know the data, right? There's lots of things we can argue about from a political perspective, and we can say, hey, you know what? We've got a difference of opinion on this. The data was clear, transparent, and readily available for anyone to look at after what happened in 2016 in Ferguson to give you a direct idea of why 2020, the defund the movement, police movement in 2020 was going to be even worse. And boom, we've got it, unfortunately, an all-time percentage increase 1 year to the next in the murder rate, nearly 30%, according to the FBI, all directly because of people like Ilhan Omar, who made the defund the police argument, all of whom were Democrats, and many of whom now say, oh, when we never said defund the police. We need to play that clip again where all of them say, like, hey, we've got to defund the police. But in the meantime, we got to tell you, Mike Lindell and his team fit us for our own pillows and introduced us to their ever-growing list of incredible products. Guys, they don't just have pillows now. They've got everything. Towel sets, slippers, robes, mattress toppers, Giza Dream Sheets, on top of many more. You can trust Mike Lindell to help you get a great night's sleep. The sheets are made from the world's best cotton, Giza, ultra soft and breathable, but also extremely durable with a luxurious finish. You can get them in many colors, styles, and sizes. And right now, they have got an incredible offer for us, Buck. What can people do to get hooked up?
You know, Clay, I took a red eye back last night from Vegas, and I flopped into my bed like a walrus that had been hit with a tranquilizer dart. But thank heavens, it was Giza Dream Sheets I fell into, and My Pillow, and the My Pillow mattress topper. And so whatever sleep I was able to get, a few hours of it before the show, a couple of hours of it, it was top quality, thanks to my man Mike Lindell. Better than the sheets I had in my, you know, my Vegas Strip hotel, that's for sure. For a limited time, the Giza Dream Sheets are buy one, get one free with promo code Clay and Buck. And remember, all My Pillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com and click on Radio Listener Specials to get the Giza Dream Sheets, buy one, get one free with promo code Clay and Buck, or call 800-792-3269, 800-792-3269. Already here with the third hour of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck in New York City, back from Las Vegas. Great time out west. I always forget how close Las Vegas is to Los Angeles until you're on the plane for that almost fifth hour. And you're like, wow, it's been a while. Clay in Houston, Texas. We already had our friend Michael Berry joining us. Great Houston, Texas-based radio host. And they have another friend of ours from Houston joining later on this hour. We're going to dive into the fiery back and forth up on Capitol Hill that's been going on today with the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, the guy who put out that memo that was a shot across the bow of concerned parents. That's right, the parental insurrectionists, because they don't want their kids learning CRT and being forced to endure and go through all kinds of left-wing indoctrination, the transgender bathroom policy, the rest of it. We do have a quick news update, though, before we get into that, from my man Clay Travis about what happened to the wealth tax, Clay. Looks like maybe something's not happening.
Yeah, so we were just talking about how insanely dumb the idea of a billionaire-specific tax was and is. And in the last 15 minutes, news has broken that Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia, who seems to be one of the few Democrats still possessing a functional brain, also said the billionaire tax doesn't make sense, and that means the billionaire tax is all but dead. This is according to Jake Sherman, who just put this out. And what does that mean in the big picture? It means that given that Kyrsten Sinema has said she won't support tax increases on the rates, and given that now Joe Manchin is opposed to a billionaire's tax, the odds of any sort of budget reconciliation agreement before Joe Biden leaves tomorrow morning for Europe, which is the deadline he put in place, seem to be fairly low at this point in time. And that means it could drag, which I think is going to terrify Democrats, into next week, which would mean that Tuesday election, if Glenn Youngkin were to beat Terry McAuliffe, everything may collapse. By the way, Manchin saying he can't in good conscience agree to increase the deficit, which is already at $29 trillion. He seems to want this thing to drag on. Remember, he argued for a strategic pause in the Wall Street Journal. So that is the absolute latest on this massive tax spend plan by Joe Biden.
As I told you, Clay, when I was out in Vegas with my friends from Stansberry Research at their conference, the number one issue of concern from across the board was inflation and just how destructive it is and what it does. And remember, inflation doesn't necessarily hurt people with a lot of assets. The stock market's super high right now. But looking at the actual economic impact on the American people and the long term impact, inflation, their biggest concern that I was hearing across the board. But it's interesting because Manchin says no billionaire's tax earlier today. He did say this in the morning.
On the taxes, first of all, I said this. Everybody in this country that has been blessed and prospered should pay a patriotic tax. If you're to the point to where you're able to use all of the tax forms, if you can, to your advantage, and you end up with a zero tax liability, but have had a very, very good life and you've had a lot of opportunities, there should be a 15% patriotic tax. That's me speaking. That's not, I'm not speaking for anybody else. People in the stratosphere, rather than trying to penalize them, we ought to be pleased that this country is able to produce the wealth. But with that, there's a patriotic duty that you should be paying something to this great country to give you the protection and the support and the opportunities. That's called a patriot.
I mean, it's never going to happen, Clay. So this is another thing that we're going to talk about. I would love for there to be a flat tax. I spoke to Ted Cruz when he was running for president some years ago. He was talking about abolishing the IRS and having a flat tax, right? That would make a lot of sense. Never gonna happen in the current political climate.
Yeah, and look, I think what Manchin is going to end up doing there is talk of an agreement of a 15% minimum tax rate on corporations that sometimes evade paying their full share of taxes. Now, all the accountants and all the tax experts can explain how that comes to pass, because there are all different sorts of complications that are far too nuanced for most of us to even understand unless we have effectively a PhD in taxation. But it is significant big picture, and I understand a lot of people out there say, hey, I don't care on a day-to-day basis what's going on in Washington, D.C. What is significant here is the Biden budget, which is basically now the focal point of his entire presidency, and that he put a deadline of wanting resolve before he left for a 6-day trip to Europe. It seems, at least right now, highly unlikely as we sit here on Wednesday that this is going to be solved by tomorrow morning, which would mean it drags into the election days in New Jersey and in Virginia. and that Virginia in particular could strike a big blow against the Biden agenda. Because, Buck, if Glenn Youngkin wins, then there's not going to be more Democrats saying, hey, you know what we definitely need to do? Tax and spend even more. They're going to be of the belief that the Biden agenda is even more under assault. So that significance of that Virginia race becomes even more paramount.
The whole game the Democrats play is the pretense. And again, Bastiat the law, the belief that you can live at the expense of every other man, that this will always be paid for by someone else, that the Biden agenda will be free, that they are effectively the federal government equivalent of Santa Claus and the Republicans are the Grinch. No, this only works until people start to feel why this doesn't work. And that is what inflation is. That is what these intrusions into intrusions into the markets and these monetary policies result in. And this is going to hurt. This is going to get worse. It's going to continue into 2022. They know that. We also have the Merrick Garland back and forth on Capitol Hill. Right now, as I speak to you, Senator Ted Cruz is hammering Attorney General Merrick Garland and pressing him to withdraw that memo that he put out. Wanted to play for you. This was a highlight from just a few moments ago. Ted Cruz going at Biden's Attorney General.
Your son-in-law makes a very substantial sum of money from a company involved in the teaching of critical race theory. Did you seek and receive a decision from an ethics advisor at the Department of Justice before you carried out an action that would have a predictable financial benefit to your son-in-law?
This memorandum is aimed at violence and threats.
I just asked a question. Did you
seek
an ethics?
It has no predictable.
Did you seek an ethics opinion?
It has no.
Did you seek an ethics opinion, Judge? You know how to ask questions and answer them. Did you seek an ethics opinion?
You asked me whether I sought an ethics opinion about something that would have a predictable effect on something. This has no predictable effect in the way that you're talking about.
So, if critical race theory is taught in more schools, does your son-in-law make more money?
This memo has nothing.
If critical race theory is taught in more schools, does your son-in-law make more money? Yes or no?
This memorandum has nothing to do with critical race.
Will you answer if you sought an ethics
kind of curriculum?
Will you answer if you sought an ethics?
I am answering the best I can.
I love it. Woo. I mean, Ted Cruz. This, you know, Ted's a, I like the senator from Texas. When he gets en fuego, you better watch out. And this is one of those moments where he knows. What is this? The attorney general who puts out this bizarre memo that he's now, Ted Cruz asked him to withdraw it. His son is involved in an education consortium of sorts that teaches CRT in schools. You know, part of this diversity and inclusion apparatus, Clay, where people get paid 10 grand to show up and tell some kids they're oppressed and other kids they're oppressors.
That is a fantastic. Did you hear Merrick Garland quivering? I mean, you could basically hear his voice quivering as he got quizzed there. And this is what we need, right? We need aggressive questioning of people in positions of power at what their underlying motives might be. Now, I think Merrick Garland blew it, and we're going to play for you another clip when we come back in this next segment, analyzing what exactly is going on as it pertains to that memo that you're referencing for the Department of Justice. But Merrick Garland, I think what you said is significant, Buck. He was sold to us as a very moderate choice for both the Supreme Court and the Attorney General. And what has happened, I believe, unfortunately, is we are seeing this guy has no backbone, and he is terrified of the woke elements of his own party turning on him. And so when he has an option to pick a rational, reasonable, adult choice, which would be saying to people, hey, the Department of Justice and the FBI don't need to be involved in contentious local school board elections. He made the opposite decision. He knows that constitutionally there's no basis for the letter that he wrote. It was entirely politics based, and he is getting lit up justifiably for that decision. And I love to see it. And I hope maybe this will help him have a little bit more steely spine. But based on the way he was collapsing under that questioning from Ted Cruz, I ain't too confident this guy's got a spine to stand up for anything right now, Buck.
Come back into more of this in a moment with the fiery exchanges on Capitol Hill with the Attorney General. Plus, Ilhan Omar thinks cops aren't doing a good enough job, and that's the problem. But that's so weird because defund the police would make you think that we don't even need cops. That's what the left was pretending for a while, as insane as it was. We'll dive into that in a little bit. Best discovery in the past couple of months, the gear I'm now wearing from Tommy John. I mean, this is so comfortable. I've got a Tommy John t-shirt on right now. I've got the Tommy John hoodie here in studio with me. The undershirts, the pullover tops, the underwear. It's incredible. I wore it home on the plane last night, in fact, and it was so comfortable. This is my everyday uniform now for doing this show because, you know, it's radio, so I can dress comfortably. This brand, Tommy John, started with the introduction of the world's most comfortable underwear.
That's right, Tommy John underwear. When you start off your day wearing Tommy John, you're that much more comfortable. You can do everything better. Tommy John men's underwear has breathable, lightweight, moisture-wicking fabric with four times the stretch of competing brands. That's why Tommy John doesn't have customers. With over 16 million pairs sold, they have fanatics. This fall, upgrade what's underneath with new Tommy John underwear. They look great, feel even better, and it's all backed by Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. How can people get their own, Buck?
Get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/Buck. That's TommyJohn.com/Buck for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Buck. See site for details.
Welcome back in. Final segment of the Wednesday edition of the program. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. Want to let you know that tomorrow we're going to have a lot of fun. Encourage you to download the podcast as always. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp was on us with us in the first hour. We talked to Michael Berry. We're about to be joined by Jesse Kelly. Tomorrow, Molly Hemingway, she's a senior editor at The Federalist, author of Rigged, How the Media, Big Tech, and the Democrats Seized Our Elections. Should be a really good conversation with her tomorrow. We've been breaking down a ton of different stories. You can search out my name, Clay Travis. You can search out Buck Sexton. Subscribe to the podcast. Go give us 5 stars. Sitting alongside of me now in the Houston studio, I'm going to be sharing a mic. It's almost like boy band-esque, is Jesse Kelly. Buck can see us from back in New York City. Jesse, what'd you think last night of the big World Series game? You ever been to a World Series game before?
I have been to a World Series game before, and honestly, Clay's just going to choke me right here in the studio when I say this. I thought it sucked, and it wasn't just because the Astros lost, but I'm 6'8". And so you have to, my knees are jammed into the seats in front of me. I'm so tall. I had this tiny little lady behind me. So I felt bad anytime I stood up. So whenever anyone else stood up, I'm this monster hunched over in the chair, drinking a $19 beer. From my home would have been so much better. I'm out.
I got to tell you, I'm a big believer in the home viewing experience is basically always better. Because other people often ruin things. And I got to say, you're a very nice guy. We've been friends for many years. If I had to sit behind you at like Les Mis or at, any of these Broadway shows here, not that that's playing right now, but you're like the nightmare guy to sit behind because it's not like you've got a big hat on or something. Like we can't actually saw you in half and make you smaller. I want to know, I went out to a range yesterday in Vegas. You're down there in Houston where guns are actually loud. You and my man Clay Travis, you get out there and do a little shooting together.
Well, we should get out and do shooting together because you can't walk more than 15 steps in this town without some kind of indoor shooting range. I mean, fully automatic. You know what they have it here. But the problem is right now, Clay is in World Series mode, and I'm never going back. I would rather stop at a sports bar across the street and eat cheese sticks and drink with the bartender than go back in.
Can I just tell you real quick? I mean, when you get the Clay experience, like I went to Alabama, and I had to sort of be reminded with myself, It's a little bit like going to the movie set with Clooney or something. Like, it's a little bit of a different vibe. Clay's like, well, we're going to like the nicest owner's box, but we could also hang out on the side of the field. And everyone's walking around like, yeah, like OutKick. So it was a rarefied experience Mr. Travis gave me at the Alabama game. You should roll with him.
Well, we've got a big fan base. I know Jesse does too. And this is a great station that we're on in Houston, but a lot of people were coming up to me, cause my son's a huge Atlanta Braves fan. And they were like, man, I'm a big fan of the show, but you got some balls rolling into the stadium with your son. My son had like 8 different Atlanta Brave paraphernalia on. And late in the game, he was like, hey, Dad, can we make sure we do the tomahawk chop? There's nobody who's an Atlanta Braves fan around us. And when you're a dad in a visiting stadium, they ain't going to be mad at your son, right? It's a little bit like if you're out with your wife or your girlfriend and she starts yelling at somebody, they're not yelling really back at her. You're the target. You ever drive? I know this probably happened to you, Jesse, where like every now and then my wife will drive and she'll cut somebody off and that person will come roaring up beside us like angry, and you're kind of like, I don't know what to say. Like, I saw what happened, but you get blamed because you're the guy and it's another guy who's mad. I was like, no, we're not going to do the tomahawk chop. We're going to win with a little bit of class here. But he was ready to go all out, stand up, be chanting and everything else. I was like, no, we don't need to do that.
So, you know, Jesse, we talked to Michael Berry before, and he said you guys are thinking about doing some kind of a big event with some of the people from our world here, the truth-based media world. I don't even know how we would describe it. You know, Barry, and, you know, some others that would obviously come to mind. You got a plan? I mean, are we just going to take over a barbecue joint for the night? What's going to happen?
Yeah, I do have a plan. My plan is to let people who are much better at details handle the planning. I am so bad at things like this. When I have to try to plan an event, I will screw the whole thing up. So my plan is to go home tonight and tell the wife, hey, I know you have a bunch of extra free time on your hands. They love it when you say that to
them. Yeah, of course.
You're not very busy at all. I need you to go ahead and plan this massive event with Clay and Buck and Michael. So thanks, Princess. So I'm going to go for that sale tonight. I'm probably going to come home with flowers. You got to try to butter, grease the skids, if you will. But that's my plan, Buck.
Sounds like a plan to me.
What's the maddest your wife has been at you, Jesse, in the last couple of years? Is there something where you were like, oh, I'm in so much trouble over this? Do you remember? There's a lot of married guys out there listening, and I know you talk about, you could just check your watch, like, oh man, we got a bunch of different stories here you could tell. But is there one where you were like, I'm in so much trouble over this?
Yes, absolutely. There is one. She had a scar on her ear from earrings when she was a kid. I won't go into the details of it. She called it a butt ear. It was really weird. But for years and years and years after she had kids, she's a gymnast, so she's just this athletic freak and used to being an athletic freak. And she looked perfect after she had kids. She's one of those women all other women hate, went right back to looking good. She thought she didn't look good. And she always said she wanted to get plastic surgery on her ear and get her stomach fixed. She has washboard abs. She doesn't need to get her stomach fixed. But you know, women are. So finally she drives by a plastic surgeon one day and says, oh, I wonder if he could do my ear. And without thinking, because she had been bringing up the stomach, I said, well, why don't you get your stomach done first? Yeah, I'm
cringing just thinking about this.
I'm amazed you're still alive.
I've never hated myself so much in my life. And it didn't matter how many times I pointed to her washboard abs. That was the moment I thought I was just
Clay, can
die.
I tell you,
she's probably
my favorite...
forgotten about that, though. One thing about women is they don't remember things for very long.
two of my favorite things about Jesse Kelly, which I'll tell this audience, is that, one, I have actually gotten formally reprimanded by a previous employer for liking a Jesse Kelly tweet. Just so you
know. That's amazing.
I've actually been told, like, you cannot like a Jesse Kelly tweet. And also, when there's a headline that you're like, oh my God, there's 10 different jokes I can make about this that are inappropriate, sometimes I'll just text it to Jesse and be like, hey, you run with this one. You run with this one. Because the rules are different for him for some reason. I have not figured out why. He can say things that I would get put in the penalty box for.
That's what happened in the world of sports with me, Buck, is that I was able to say so many things in sports that nobody else could say. And I would get, you know, like people would send me and say, hey, I could never say this, but just an idea for you here. Sometimes that's good. You got an excuse to be able to set somebody else up, let them have it.
Jesse's got to lay off the Italians. We got a lot of wonderful conservative Italians listening here in New York City, Jesse. We see those tweets.
No, I would never say anything bad. I'm done ripping on Italians completely. As soon as those mustaches get trimmed off the ladies, I'm good to go.
Oh, my gosh. Look what he's done. Causing problems.
We'll be live tomorrow. I'll be back in Nashville. You'll hopefully have gotten some sleep after the cross-country trip. And I hope the Braves are going to be up 2-0, ready to head back to ATL to win the World Series. Going to be a fun night. Can't wait. Hang with us tomorrow.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.